Lord has given me a gift. Only one. I am the most complete fighter in the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the fifth and final episode where we are trying to crown the greatest action star of all time. I am your host, Mike Scott. I am once again joined by your worst nightmare, Scott Adkins. Scott, how are you today, my friend?
You know, it's not Scott here. It's Sly, you know? And if you don't say that I'm the number one action star in the world, you're a bum. You're nothing but a down and dirty bum.
Well, and I guess we'll have to see if Sly is satisfied or if I am a bum. But first and foremost, man, this was actually, I mentioned this in the first episode, a lot of this was sort of started because you watched Rambo 5 and really enjoyed it, and you and I were having a conversation about Stallone. So tell us why you think he's one of the five best.
I mean, goddamn, I'm a huge Stallone fan. And I think something very important, and we'll go into many reasons on why he is certainly one of the greatest ever. But you think about all these other guys, like Arnold is, you think of the Terminator. Keanu, you think of John Wick, and Jackie Chan, and Van Damme's Van Damme. But Stallone is synonymous for two characters in a massive, massive way, Rambo and Rocky, and they are both cinema icons. You know, you can see the silhouette and know who it is. And that is unusual that you've got two people, two characters that you are so recognized for all around the world. That is something special. Stallone, we're going to get into it, but I am a huge Stallone fan for many, many reasons. But, you know, I remember being a kid and my mom and the whole family were watching Rocky, and I barely remember it. It's a very early memory for me. I just remember my mom saying to my dad, "Oh, it was wonderful. You need to see it, John. We all loved it." And I just remember sitting there with the family watching Rocky 1 and in the 70s, and he's still doing it now. You know, he's still at the top of his game to this day, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I think the thing going with what you said about the you know, these two, Rocky and Rambo, they're so unbelievably different characters too, which is kind of amazing. I mean, they are, you know, I know Stallone tends to get lumped in as he plays the same guy all the time, which when he's not invested, sure, I will buy that. But if you watch the Rocky series and the Rambo series, there is no way that dude is he's not even close to the same character. I mean, hell, half the time sort of in the Rocky series, he's not even the same character within that series.
Yeah.
But definitely, you know, Rambo, just brooding, tortured, tormented John Rambo versus, you know, sort of goofily optimistic and upbeat about everything Rocky Balboa, they're not the same character. And so for him to have dialed into two characters that are so iconic, but yet so different, is really, like you said, it's really special. It's really unusual, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, look, he's a true actor. He's a great actor. I mean, okay, he's not won an Oscar for acting. You're not going to put him in at the same level as De Niro and Pacino. But he's not far off. He's a true actor and a true filmmaker and a true storyteller. And, you know, this is going to be one of the reasons why, you know, I mean, there's two guys I'm going back and forth, and I've got to make my mind up today on who's number one. But because he's such a great storyteller and such a great filmmaker and such a great actor, and he does everything, and on top of that, he's given blood, sweat, and tears to the action genre, is why I'm, you know, verging on saying that he's the greatest action star of all time, because he's been in it for so long. He's had so much box office success. He's such a huge megastar. He creates his own movies. He writes the stuff. He directs it. He stars in it. He creates franchises, Rambo, Rocky, Expendables. He's still doing it to this day. When did Rocky come out? What was it, 96? When I was born. I'm not,
76. Sorry,
76 or 77, whatever it was. The guy's unstoppable. True filmmaker.
Well, and that is the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was actually going to say that too. The thing for me that in a lot of ways does set him apart is he is also a writer and he is also a director. And yeah, you know, we mentioned that Keanu did direct Man of Tai Chi, and Tom Cruise hasn't really directed, but he is a producer. He's a very creative guy. Schwarzenegger directed one movie. Jackie does, you know, did direct back in the day a lot of his movies, but none of them are really writers. And Stallone's best work, at least a lot of it, has also been written by him. And that's not nothing. When we're talking about, you know, the things we've talked about, the changing the genre, making a cultural impact, big box office success. Like, the fact that he's written these things can't be overlooked. Like, the fact that he writes Rocky cannot be overlooked. That is a hugely influential and important sort of factor to consider.
He won the Oscar for it, right?
Yes, I believe so. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now, the other thing I will say about Stallone as we kind of go into some of his movies is, he's also, I think, maybe of our list of top fives, the one that has been also the most self-sabotaging person on this list. Because throughout his career, it almost seems like every time he's riding high, he starts making some really ridiculous decisions, like following up Rocky III and First Blood with Staying Alive and Rhinestone. You know, and I mean, in some way, there is a he's to be commended for wanting to branch out, but he's also had a lot more.
Staying Alive is pretty good. I don't mind it. Is that a bad film?
I'm not a fan. I don't think most people consider.
You're not a fan of Staying Alive?
I'm not a fan of Staying Alive. I don't think most people would consider it a great movie. But
are you not a fan of oiled up and muscled up Travolta?
Well, I'm not saying I'm not a fan of that. I'm just wishing that there was a better movie around him. And I think the biggest problem with Staying Alive is it's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever, and you're already setting yourself up for failure.
For now, I think Staying Alive's better.
Oh, Scott Adkins throwing some fire here tonight, folks.
Well, you know, there's those certain films that you watch when you're a kid growing up. That you probably, I haven't seen Staying Alive for a long time, but I know that when I was a kid, if that was on TV, I'm watching it, man, because that was a good film. I loved it.
Hey, more power. I'm not judging. Lord knows I like plenty of hot takes. Now, if you're going to come at me defending Rhinestone, we might have to have a conversation.
Can't go that far. But my favorite part of Staying Alive, the music was good enough. I used to, like, the dancing sequences were almost like a training montage in a Rocky movie. I could see the Stallone influence, but my favorite bit was always when he bumped into Stallone in the street, and I'd always be like, there he is!
Yeah. Yeah, you're that meme of Leo from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood pointing at the TV. I will give you this. The dancing scenes in Staying Alive are tremendous. And it's very clear that Travolta put the work in. He really did. He put the work in for that. But ultimately, I don't want to get bogged down on Staying Alive. Sorry. No, you're good. It's just my point.
The greatest action film that he ever did.
So. My point is just, you know, he's always had a tendency to follow up really big hits with some kind of WTF decisions. But I think that makes him fascinating. because he's also risen like a phoenix so many times. You know, he's hurting in his career in the mid 90s because when we'll talk about the good movies, the big hits and stuff from the mid 90s, but he's The Specialist, Judge Dredd, and Assassins, and Daylight were like four in a row that were major box office disappointments. And so what does he do? He teams up with James Mangold and he stars in Copland. You know, he's always figuring out how to, and I think Copland is one of his absolute best performances and best movies. And he's constantly figuring out how to reinvent himself in ways that he can do something different with himself. And I think that is really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I don't really know where to begin. I suppose let's just talk about the Rockies, yeah?
Yeah, I would say we start with the Rockies and then we go to the Rambos and then we talk about a couple of others of our favorites. But I think we got to start with the Rockies.
Well, yeah, the Rockies, I mean, not all of them, but most of them. It's the best sports movie ever made. I mean, it's any boxer will tell you about their love of, any fighter will tell you about their love of the Rocky films. I would always say that I thought Rocky II was Rocky I, but better. I think Rocky II's a better movie than Rocky I, because it was the same, but with a better training montage, better fight scene at the end. And, you know, he got to win. And I love that bit when Adrian wakes up from a coma and she just looks at him and she just, oh, even just saying it now, I can feel the hairs coming up on my arms. And she goes, win. And then he starts training. It is flipping amazing. Yeah. It is brilliant. How good is it? And most of the Rocky movies are like that. Training montage, brilliant stuff. Rocky IV. We got the new version of Rocky IV coming out quite soon. He's been in that pandemic, recutting his version of Rocky IV, which to me was always like one big long music video anyway. So maybe you can bring some more story into it. But I love them all. Even Rocky V. I remember watching that in the cinema and jumping out of my seat at the end when he started fighting Tommy Lee and whatever his name was, Tommy the Machine Gun. The Rocky films are brilliant, man. They're brilliant.
Well, and I love that two things, one serious, one kind of not serious, but to jump on your vibe. Yes, they're fucking brilliant. And I'm not the biggest Rocky V guy, but I love all the others, and all the others all have stuff that is just so terrific to me. Like I love in Rocky Balboa when Duke is, you know, right before the training montage and he's like, you can't run because your knees are shot, and you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, so we're gonna rely on some good old-fashioned blunt force trauma. Let's start building some hurt bombs. And then, you know, the theme kicks in. It's like you can't not jump out of your fucking chair when you're watching those movies. And then for them to transit,
you have to go training after you've watched one of those movies. You have to do something. You've got too much energy from it. You're too ramped up.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to do something. You can't just sit there. You can't like watch a Rocky movie and then be like, I'm going to go to bed now. Like you can't. It's impossible. And then the way they transitioned into Creed is just chef's kiss, because now we get Rocky as the elder statesman and kind of taking over the Burgess Meredith role. And it's just, it's fantastic. The series is brilliant. The only arguable misfire, in my opinion, is Rocky V. And I don't think I call it a misfire, not a bad movie, because I don't think Stallone had quite in his head developed the themes that he more fully explored in Rocky Balboa. I think it was a little premature what he was trying to come up with.
I guess there wasn't much mileage in that story. But the thing is, you can't keep recycling the same thing. Rocky II is Rocky I made better. Rocky III, it's the same sort of thing, but it's mirroring his own career where he's become successful now and it's gone to his head. And he was drawing upon experiences in his life for Rocky III, which worked very well. But then for me, the end fight of Rocky III was always a bit disappointing because it was a different sort of, you know, he beats him up quicker. He wanted the montage and the build-up, but you can't do it the same every time. Rocky IV was like Rocky II, you know, amped up to the max, proper music, video 80s style. And then he had to do something different for Rocky V, didn't he? But Rocky VI was wonderful because, again, he was mirroring his own life at the time. He's this aging action star, and he's got people around him saying, you can't do action anymore, mate. You're getting too old. And he was like, no, you know what? I reckon I can. And it was kind of mirroring his own life at the time. Why should I stop doing this? Because I want to do it. And why should I stop fighting as Rocky? Because I want to be fighting. And the Creed film's great, man. They jumped on that and took Stallone into that and that character. And God, yeah, Michael B. Jordan, he's a specimen. He's a good action star, actually. Yeah, he could be a very good one in the future if he keeps going the way he's going. But I don't, Creed, none of them are as good as the original Rockies for me. They're just not.
So Creed is actually my favorite. And part of the reason it is actually because of Stallone, because I love him as the mentor. I love him as the trainer in that movie, you know, and it did get him his Academy Award nomination. He didn't win, but he did get nominated. And I love him as the trainer in that movie. And again, it's another one that just has those scenes where he's like, you know, telling Donnie, you know, I'm going to throw in the towel. And Donnie's like, no, I've got to do it to prove it. And he's like, what? Prove I'm not a mistake. And then Rocky's like, well, then you get up there and you go knock his ass down. And the theme kicks in. And it's just, we could spend the entire episode talking about all the great things in the Rocky movies.
Of course we could.
But they're, I mean, the existence of that series alone, throw out anything else in Stallone's career, the existence of Rocky alone, I think, warrants him being in this conversation for the top five.
Yeah, they are brilliant. I mean, not necessarily an action film, but of course it is an action sports drama, but it's got a lot of fights. So yeah, it is an action film, but those films just get you pumped up, man, and make you want to train. Everyone loves the Rockies. And I wonder what it's like to be a young man, a millennial. What do they think of the Rocky films? Do they love them as well? I don't even know. Please, somebody answer that question for me.
I am friends with a few millennials because of Twitter, even though I'm old. And by and large, the Rocky movies still hold up for people. You know, and so I think... And I think that's also the other reason that the Creed movies are very important, because I think they introduce a whole new generation and then they go back and work their way forward. And so I don't think Rocky's ever going to die. It's an all-timer, man.
Great. Great stuff. Well, what's interesting, I mean, you can't talk about, going to Rambo, but you can't talk about Stallone without talking about Arnold. And you see Stallone come into his own with Rocky. And then he starts doing, I guess, yeah, he wanted to, he started, did Paradise Alley, and he directed that as well, didn't he? Directed Rocky II. It almost seemed like he was taking a different path at one point, almost like following Pacino or something like that. And then he went all action on us. Was it First Blood that put him into that sort of action vibe?
Same year he did First Blood and Rocky III, and I think it was because Rocky III, I think, is kind of one of the most action-y of the Rockies. Not as much as IV, because like you said, IV is nothing but a 90-minute training montage. But yeah, I definitely think, and I think the thing is with First Blood is nobody was really quite sure that movie was going to be a hit. I mean, Stallone, I don't know if you know this, but Stallone actually tried to buy back the movie from the studio because he was so worried that it was going to end up so badly and so damaging to his career that he tried to buy it back and not release it. I can't, that's what I've read on the internet. Take it with a grain of salt. Since I know you have worked with him, I don't want him like emailing you and being like, hey, that's not what happened. And yet instead what we get is a masterpiece. Because I think First Blood is, his, as great as the Rocky movies are. And I don't think the other Rambo movies, at least not all of them, hold up as well. But I think First Blood is an absolute fucking masterpiece of a film. It's one of my favorites of all time.
You've got such good taste, mate, because you are so right. Now, Rocky, you're like thinking, well, is that an action film? Yeah, it is, but is it an action? Is it really an action film? But First Blood, you can definitely say that is an action film. And if you were to say to me, it's the greatest action film ever made, I wouldn't argue with that, because it is a perfect movie. From everything, the story, the acting, Brian Dennehy and all those, all the sheriff's team, and the music and the way it's directed, it's great, isn't it? It's brilliant.
It is. It's absolutely brilliant. And I've actually read the book, and I actually think the changes they made work better, because in the book, frankly, Rambo,
I didn't need to see him naked on the motorcycle.
Oh, come on.
No, after the specialist, I can confirm I didn't need to see him naked on the motorbike.
But in the book, he's just a psychopath. I mean, he's Rambo's crazy. He's evil. And I think softening him for the movie makes it a much more compelling character and a much more compelling movie. And yeah, everything, you know, I mean, fuck, Richard Crenna was brought on like a week before filming to play Colonel Troutman and just owns in that movie. And, you know, and again, I think the end,
eat things that make your belly go puke, kill, period. There you go.
There you go. And I think the ending monologue, Stallone's ending monologue, might be the finest bit of acting that he did in his entire career. You know, just he's I can't feel my legs and his guts are on. I'm trying to put his guts back in. And I'm just, you know, I mean, he's just, the way he goes from angry to just devastated is I think the best 10 minutes he did in his, which is not to discount a lot of his other great work, but that 10 minutes is a masterclass as far as I'm concerned.
That's brilliant. But I just slightly off topic, well, not off topic, but back to Rocky. In Rocky 3, when Mick dies, that scene, that gets me every time. And his performance in that is so brilliant. I mean, okay, he's covered by all the makeup and everything, but he's there, they're just whispering to each other. And it's really like you're just, you know, listening in on this private conversation. And then when he dies and he starts to cry and then he starts screaming as the camera pulls out. That is brilliant. Brilliant acting, brilliant director. Oh, yeah.
Well, in same year. And so he's just on fire, right? In 1982, he's just on fire. He's filling everything. He's filling being a movie star, but also being an actor. And so it's just, I mean, come on. How many actors have ever had a year where they release two movies like Rocky III and First Blood? Like, come.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, he's took some weird missteps, but ultimately he's crafting these stories himself a lot of the time. Obviously, First Blood was based on a book, but he could tell that that was going to be a good story, and obviously instrumental in the stories for the other ones. That's what puts him above the rest. He's a storyteller and a filmmaker. You got to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, we talked about it a little bit, but the staying alive, Rhinestone, but then he comes back in 85 and we get Rocky IV and Rambo First Blood Part II, which is a movie that I think doesn't, like when I was, so in 85, I would have been 9, as would you have been actually. And I loved Rambo, in 1985. I think it's a movie that's a lot more dated than some of his others. I still enjoy the hell out of it. And particularly when he goes full, like, Murdoch, I'm coming for you. You know,
it's so good. That whole scene. He's been. No one gets electrocuted better than Stallone. How great does he get electrocuted? Yeah, you got to film the veins. Film the veins popping. He doesn't say anything, does he? In that scene, he says nothing. He doesn't say anything until he just goes Murdoch, I'm coming to get you. And then he fucks them all up. God, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and that's, for me, that's the part of the movie that still really holds up. And then his like, rampage. Because one of the things I've always said about Rambo that I love is the Rambo movies at their best are basically what if Jason Voorhees was the hero? Because when he starts doing his, like, stalk and hunt, it's, like, straight-up slasher movie shit, right? As he's, like, stalking through the jungle, taking out all these soldiers, and, you know, and he's disappearing, and they're running, and all of a sudden he's right there and stuff like that, and I love it. That's one of my favorite things about any of the Rambo movies is when he goes full, like, stalker, just taking motherfuckers out. It's so fun.
There's so many impactful moments in the first two Rambo movies like that. It's obviously started it in First Blood when you're seeing the police officer walking around and then this bush comes to life and it's Stallone and he stabs him in the leg. I mean, that was all brilliant. And they take it up another level in Rambo 2 where he's literally hiding in a mud wall and you just see the eyes and then it comes out. It's scary. It's brilliant stuff, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, the way he comes out of nowhere, you know, and it always is. It's just so fun to watch. I mean, even the I think we can all agree Rambo 3 is not one of his higher points, but the whole scene. But
he was massive. he was massive. That's the biggest he's been yet. He's like, right, I'm really going to deal with Schwarzenegger now. I'm going to pack on loads of muscle. The opening of Rambo 3, which was always cut in my country, and I didn't get to see the proper version until much later, but he's having a fight with sticks against a Thai boxer type guy. I mean, that's the best type of opening of a movie I could ask for. Yes, it goes completely over the top and it's nowhere near as good as First Blood. But still, you know, as a teenager watching Rambo 3, there's still a lot in there to really enjoy.
Absolutely. And again, same thing. There's a whole scene where he's in these caverns and he's doing the stalking thing again. And it's so great. And it also gets, you know, that's the one that gives us your worst nightmare, you know, and so many other really good stuff.
My favorite line is when Troutman goes, "What do you think we should do, John?" And he just goes, "Fuck him."
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. There are so many good lines. And one of the other things I really love about the Rambo series is, you know, I am such a sucker for action movies that do the, like, my friend Outlaw Vern, I think, calls them basically the just how badass is he scenes. Right. You know, and Richard Crenna as Troutman is so great at doing those scenes where he's just letting everybody know exactly just how badass Rambo is. Because Rambo 3 gets the one where he says, God forgives, he doesn't.
And yeah.
So great.
Yeah. He goes, if you're going to go in there after Rambo, just make sure you don't forget one thing, a good supply of body bags.
Like, and I love those because they so instantly tell you what you need to know, right? Like, you can't not, like, fist pump when you see stuff like that.
He hams it up real good, Richard Crenna, in the best way possible.
Yeah, because he hams it up while underplaying it, right? It would be so easy to go so over the top with that character. But because he's playing it so deadly serious, he's being very hammy but completely straight-faced. It works incredibly well.
Serious with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also get Rambo 4, which almost rivals First Blood for me. I fucking love Rambo 4. I think it's just tremendous. And, you know, you want some blood and guts in your action movies. Rambo 4 goes all the fuck in on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I love Stallone. I love a bit of violence. I do. I'm a nice guy. I'm not crazy, but I love to see people's faces and heads coming apart. I just enjoy it. I don't know why.
Wait, the guy who starred in Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning likes a little bit of violence. Get out.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. And yes, yeah, so violent. But it was almost like at that point, because in the 80s, films were violent. I mean, Tango, Cobra is a very violent film. But it's almost like there's a lot of 12 comic book movies around at that point, and it was almost like Stallone was coming back with, I'm going to bring you the violence back in the good old 80s. And he doubled down on it with the most recent Rambo, which, you know, you weren't a massive fan of. And yes, I was kind of watching it thinking, it's suffering from the old Die Hard. Am I watching Bruce Willis or John McClane? It felt like I was watching Stallone rather than Rambo at times, because he didn't have the long hair. But maybe the long hair, because he's older, wouldn't have worked. I don't know. But still, I thoroughly enjoyed that movie because I just love the violence.
Well, and like I said, when you and I were talking, all the shit in his tunnels, you know, backed to 5-1, which is just such a great song because of that bump, 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 bump. Such a great song to back an action scene to. I loved all that shit.
How twisted is he, though?
Yeah.
How twisted as a character? How messed up must he have been in Vietnam?
Yeah.
That he's built all of his own Viet Cong tunnels.
Yeah.
Twisted.
Yeah. Did you, I can't remember, because we talked about it. Have you had a chance to watch the extended cut yet with?
Yeah, I did. And I saw my good mate Lewis in that version. I got to see the opening, yeah. It's weird the way they cut that out of the English version.
I have no idea why, because that opening is, I think, one of the best things in the movie. It's really, it's to me the one thing that really ties it together to sort of the previous Rambos, because this idea of, you know, he's this loner, but he's going to go up on this mountain and try and save these people who are trapped up there. And because it's Rambo and nothing ever works out for him, you know, he's not going to be able to. I really like that opening. I can't believe that they cut it. I don't understand that decision, but you and I have talked a lot. I don't understand the decisions of studios and producers on a fairly regular basis.
Well, it's just odd that you would get a different version in a different country. I mean, you know, just go with the one version. Weird.
Yeah, and it's not like it was that much longer. You know, it's not like they cut down like a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. It's like the one that got released here in the U.S., was like 89 minutes, and the extended cut's like 110. So, you know, we're not talking massive time differences here. Either way, Rambo, great fucking character. Definitely my favorite Stallone character. One of my absolute favorite characters in all of cinema. Whether
do you
I like
Rambo to Rocky, then?
I do, as a character.
It's hard, man. It's hard because Rocky's so likable. You know, and you're right, they're such different characters and he plays them so differently. Like Rocky's almost got like verbal diarrhea, he can't shut up. And Rambo, he just barely says anything. And that, and he plays. Do you know, I didn't want to say this because I'm not sure if I've got it right, because I've got a terrible memory. But I do think that Stallone told me that in an original version of First Blood, he hated it and Rambo spoke a lot more. And he went through it and he cut out most of the dialogue except for the end, of course, and it just made her a much more compelling character.
That is correct. That is that I read that in the same stuff where I read that he actually tried to buy back the film, that Rambo talked, because in the book Rambo doesn't talk to other people a lot, but there's this whole internal monologue, right? You've got a whole lot of internal dialogue for Rambo, and I think they tried to put that in the movie and that just wouldn't have worked. I mean, First Blood works because he has like 5 sentences before the final monologue. You know, I mean, he's talking to the wife of his buddy and you get him telling Brian Dennehy, let it go or I'll give you a war you'll never forget.
We're back on First Blood because it's so brilliant. That scene with Brian Dennehy is so believable when he's telling him to go to the next town. It's just so organic, isn't it? It's not forced and you completely believe that that might happen. He's a bit of a dickhead cop and Rambo's just, you know, it's such a stupid reason for the whole film to take off, but it's just works so well. It's so believable. The acting is phenomenal from both of them.
Yeah. No. And I mean, it's one of those interesting movies that it's like, everything just came together through a lot of really hard work because, you know, the director, Ted Kotcheff, is a good, solid, workmanlike director and has made some good movies, but there really wasn't any indication that he was going to make something like First Blood. you know, and so it's just nothing about First Blood should have worked the way it did. And that's kind of why I love it, because
you cannot, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
You cannot underestimate the power of Stallone as a director working with another director. I'm sure it's not easy to work with him because he's got his own ideas and he will demand to be heard. I mean, you know, like I've seen him on the set of The Expendables. It's something that he created and he's in the driving seat as much as anyone else. I'm sure at that point in his career, with the success of Rocky, that his ideas will be listened to. And sometimes it, you know, creates for an environment where, you know, everyone's work's going to be improved by it because he will be demanding certain things. And if he's got a question or doesn't think something's right, he's going to call the director on it and they're going to reach you a good solution. So, you know.
Yeah. And all you need to know that is to look at the number of directors he's gotten fired. I mean, there's so many of his movies that directors have been fired or left because of that. I mean, say what you will about Stallone. The man is confident, shall we say, which is, I'm not saying that that's a criticism, but there is definitely a sense. He's a lot like Jackie in that regard, that there's a reason that Jackie worked with people like Stanley Tong over and over again, you know, because he was so creatively minded and knew what he wanted, and he needed a director who would go with that vision. Stallone's kind of very much the same way. That's why he made, you know, a couple different movies with George Cosmatos, because by all accounts, George Cosmatos would just be like, whatever Sly tells me to do, I'm good doing. And so, you know, it is tough, because he is that guy, but
I'm sure Tom Cruise is the same.
I
really like that, but my relationship with Jesse Johnson is a very fruitful relationship and we're doing great work together. But it's a collaboration, you know, I demand to be heard about some things, but also he'll bite back on things that if he thinks I'm off on the wrong track, he'll tell me about it and we have a conversation and it makes for better work. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's my way or the highway, but you're just forcing each other to be better.
Well, and that's what it all boils down to, right? Is finding somebody that you're simpatico with, that you're on the same page with. I mean, it's no question in my mind that there's a very good reason that Christopher McQuarrie has directed and written several Tom Cruise films. They clearly know how to work together. They clearly know how to be on the same page. And yeah, like you said, you are, because I this isn't about you. I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to take some time to blow smoke up your ass, but look, I think you're aware and everybody listening is aware, you're very fucking good at what you do. And so you want a director who is going to understand that, and Isaac, Jesse, John Hyams, people like that, you know, that you work great with, there's a reason for that. And I think Stallone, in a lot of ways, is the same way. He just knows what he wants, and he wants, because he can't direct every movie that he stars in, so no. He knows what he wants, and he wants a director who's going to understand that and go with it.
Yeah, sometimes that's just the way it is. I know The Criminal that you were talking about recently, on that set, I saw Kevin Costner he's not directing the movie, but you would see him just take control sometimes if it was needed. Like there was a bit down on the beach and he was there with the walkie-talkie and he's just doing what needed to be done to get the film made. That's the way it's going to be when you're working with an actor-director. But yeah, that's just the way it's going to be with all of them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, again, when you're working with an actor-director that has had the success of, say, Stallone or Kevin Costner. You know, I mean, fuck, you're an Academy Award-winning director as an actor. Yeah. Costner has
directing that guy.
Yeah.
And he's got an Academy Award for directing. You're like, oh, what's he going to think of this suggestion?
Well, and that's you know, that's part of, I guess, the next thing. We can talk about some others, but I guess the next thing that leads into the next big series is we got to talk about The Expendables, because I think
part of... Well, I think just briefly, I've got to just say that Tango and Cash is incredible.
We'll come back to Tango and Cash. We're going to definitely come back to a couple more movies, but I'm just thinking of the series that Stallone has been in. Expendables is kind of the last big one. So let's talk about that and then we'll circle back to a couple others. But, you know, he directed the first one. I think the second one works in part so well because Simon West is a professional, but also was completely on board with Sly's vision. And I know that's a movie that you're in, so I don't want to, you know, ask you to say anything about it that you're not comfortable with. But I think that's why that one works the best out of the three.
Well, yeah, you know, this is showing how smart Stallone is. He's probably not, some of his films weren't doing as well as previously. And he had the foresight to just think, okay, let's bring all the old action guys together and make a film like that, The Expendables, and bring on Jason Statham. And what a fantastic idea. It certainly paid off. Three films and maybe another one. I thought it was a strange choice the way they edited the action, though, in the first Expendables, because that is so unlike any of Stallone's other films that he's directed. I guess that was the in way to do it at the time, but I thought that was a shame. But it wasn't like that in Expendables 2. So that was a bit odd for me.
But
specifically the Dolphin Jet Li fight, I can't see what the hell's going on there.
Yeah, actually, there's the Expendables, for those listening. The Expendables Blu-ray has a really terrific behind the scenes. It's maybe almost an hour and a half long behind the scenes documentary, and Stallone fully participated in it. And some of it was that he was trying, you know, he knew that Bourne style was really popular. And so he was kind of trying to replicate that. And I'm with you. I don't think it works. That's the biggest holdup I have with the first Expendables, is I think the editing is shit.
And the tone was a bit like, I think Expendables 2 works better because they figured out what the tone should be. It was quite serious, the first one, at times. Yeah, we're dealing with, you know, it's essentially just getting all the action guys back together, isn't it? So better to have some fun with it. So the tone was a bit better in Expendables 2. It had a bit of a glint in its eye a bit more.
Well, and it also had, obviously, you, but also... I lack symbol. This is the symbol of the goat, the pet of my lord, Satan.
Satan, yeah. Brilliant.
So good. Brilliant. Expendables 3, I like it, but they made a bad choice going with PG-13 on that one.
Terrible choice. Terrible.
And didn't necessarily need to bring all the kids in either.
You don't want to see the kids. And I'm talking about myself included. They wanted to see Jason Statham making my head explode. That's what they wanted to see. We don't want to see the kids in The Expendables. We want to see The Expendables. Nobody cares about the new kids. We're there for The Expendables.
Still, I will say, though, still one of your absolute best death scenes. In all of your career, one of my favorite death scenes of yours is...
Let me tell you, there was no rotors, and they say he's going to punch you into the rotors there. So I just reacted accordingly. I had no idea my whole head was going to come off. It's brilliant.
It's absolutely beautiful. I love it. And you get the Statham kiss off. Nothing beats a classic. The Expendables are a lot of fun. They obviously haven't reached the cultural cachet of Rambo or Rocky. But again, still, most people would be happy to have just that series under their belt. And that's like late career shit for Stallone.
He's an older guy there. He just shows how smart he is, that he was, and the respect that he has from every other action guy, you know, and, you know, up to the third one with Wesley Snipes and Antonio Banderas, all coming back to offer their services to the ringleader of all this stuff, you know, Arnold and Bruce included. You know, the guy is, only a guy like Stallone could pull that off, because he's a titan, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and that to me, unless you have anything else you want to add about the Expendables, is a good point to take a step back to some of the other non-franchise movies we want to talk about.
Yeah, I think a massive impact, like obviously we'd had the Rockies and the Rambos, and then he tried his hand at comedy, and Arnold tricked him into taking Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, as the legend goes. Oscar, I didn't mind. I've watched that film quite a few times. I enjoy it. It's quite an enjoyable film. But then he took a bit of time off. When the trailer for Cliffhanger came out with that music, that operatic music, it was like, and he hadn't had Stallone around for a while. That was like, God damn, that cannot come out quick enough. Summer needs to come quickly because I need to see that movie. The trailer for Cliffhanger was so great. And that film did not disappoint. That is a proper action movie and Stallone at his very best.
Yep. It's Rennie Harlan. It's Stallone. It's both of them doing what they do best. As a fan at the time, because I've always been, you know, I remember in our Schwarzenegger episode, I was saying you were kind of one or the other, and you were like, well, I liked both. And I think most people did. I did too. But I still think at the end of the day, if you're standing on train tracks and a train is barreling and you've got to pick one side or the other, I'm always going to pick the Stallone side. I love Schwarzenegger, but I'm always going to pick the Stallone side. And so as a Stallone fan, when I saw that trailer for Cliffhanger after enduring Oscar, which I, in 1991, was an endurance test, I now get it. Like, I think it's still a miss, but I think it's a noble miss. I get what they were trying to do. And I think it was, I get it. And, you know, and I don't dislike the movie. But then also enduring.
I can understand why he did it, and trying something different is always admirable. And if it didn't necessarily work as well as Twins or the comedies that Arnold did, but still, you know, it was, I used to enjoy it.
Well, and he's such a
My Mom Will Shoot, though. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oscar, also Stallone and John Landis, they're such fans of classic cinema. They were trying to really do like a throwback movie. I get that. That's a noble effort. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, in my humble opinion, was fucking terrible. And in 1992, I was kind of like, I'm done with this motherfucker. And then I saw the trailer for Cliffhanger and I was like, nope, I'm all the way back in. It doesn't disappoint. It delivers on what it says on the tin. I will actually admit that hear me out on this before you fly to Utah and kick me in the face. I am less of a fan of Cliffhanger than a lot of other people. Not because I think it's a bad movie, not because I don't think it's entertaining, but only because of the other movie that Stallone was in that came out in 1993. Which is the one movie of his that rivals First Blood as my favorite Stallone movie, which is fucking Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a double whammy, wasn't it? Those two films he came back with.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Demolition Man, yeah. I mean, it's brilliant, but nah, it's no Cliffhanger. Because it's having a lot of fun, isn't it? It's a very much popcorn type of movie, sci-fi, got comedy in it. You know, great film, but Cliffhanger's got the edge for me because it's like a proper action film with proper stakes, takes itself seriously at times, and you're really into it. It's an adrenaline. There's some sequences in Cliffhanger. The opening sequence is incredible. It's just nail-biting, horrible stuff, and sets up the film brilliantly. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying.
And brilliant practical effects in Cliffhanger. Just absolutely stunning practical effects.
Great stunt work. Diving across the bridge and then falling off the side of the cliff where the helicopter almost hits him. You know, it's action fans' dream.
The one thing I will say, when was the last time you watched both of them?
Both of them? I mean, a while ago, but I've watched them both a fair bit.
Okay. Because I feel like, for me, Demolition Man is actually one of those movies that is only getting better and better and better as time goes on. Whereas
the future,
And that's a big part of it is kind of, you know, we are getting to this ridiculous future that the Demolition Man is articulating. Whereas to me, Cliffhanger feels more
that we're in a woke future.
It's not so much that it's just it's more the idea of just. Well, like perfect example is Taco Bell being the only restaurant as we're watching more and more corporations, you know, Amazon and Walmart and Google just absorb everything. And so this idea that was so funny in 93, the idea that we're only going to have one restaurant to eat at seems a little more prescient in 2021. Whereas for me,
they also say that Schwarzenegger was president.
Yes, they did because they changed the constitution.
That was before he went to the governor.
Yep, absolutely. Either way, 93, hell of a year for him. Two great movies. Yet again, two that we can just, you know, chalk up on the list. I do want to back up just a little bit because you mentioned both Cobra and Tango and Cash, which are two movies that I think are fan-fucking-tastic, and I love them both to death.
Yeah, Cobra's a bit of a funny one, very violent, really cool character. Doesn't necessarily work that well, I don't think. It was never one of my favorites, but I enjoyed his look in that movie is great, with the shades and the matchstick and what he's wearing, that long coat. But Tango and Cash, that is a favorite of mine. That is, in terms of buddy cop movies, that is so brilliant. Him and Kurt Russell are brilliant together. And he flips it, doesn't he? He plays a different character to what he's associated with. Kurt Russell's more the sort of, you know, blue-collar guy, and he's the Wall Street tradesman. Sugar is down this week. Can you believe it?
Yeah, no, and he and Russell play so well together. I don't know, I have no idea how they got along on set, but certainly in the movie, the chemistry is through the roof. They play well. This is the one where Stallone, you know, wholesale steals from Jackie, because we get the bus scene from Police Story in this one, which we get the great lead up of, who do you think you are, Rambo? Rambo was a pussy, you know, which is just, you know, I love when Stallone makes fun of himself like that. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Tango and Cash is just absolutely fantastic. For me, Cobra is one of those, like you said, about staying alive. I watched it so much as a kid. I saw it in the theater. It's in my DNA. I can't do anything but love Cobra. And in addition to his look, his one-liners are, you know, like when the guy's like in the grocery store at the start, he's like, I'll blow this place up, I'll kill everybody, go ahead, I'll shop here, you know, I mean, just that shit's so good.
Yeah, it's proper 80s movie, that one, isn't it?
It might be the most 80s movie. Like, I'm not saying it's the best 80s movie, but it might be the most 80s movie.
Yeah, it's good stuff though. What else? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned Copland, which I love. I'm trying to see if there's any others. Well, let's ask this, because one other thing that he does do is he changes gears a little bit again, and he pops up. I think there's really two more movies that I think are kind of worth talking about. And he pops up in a kids movie because he does Spy Kids 3D. I mean, he had done a voiceover work for Ants, but then he also shows up in Spy Kids 3D, which I think I don't know if you've seen it or if you have watched it with your kids. I think he's delightful in that movie. He's so much fun in that movie.
I haven't seen it actually, but I don't doubt it. He was in a Marvel movie as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he shows up in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He's just a kind of like a cameo, but he is in there.
Well, look, he doesn't stop. I mean, how old is he now? He's got a new film coming out, The Samaritan, which is a superhero type of movie, which looks quite interesting. The guy just keeps on going, man.
Yeah, and he also is doing the voice. He's now showing up in a DC movie, too, because he's the voice of King Shark in the new James Gunn Suicide Squad. I doubt he did any of the mocap or anything, but he is the voice. The other one we kind of have to talk about, which is a movie that I am a fan of, but not everybody loved. And we talked about it a little bit when we were talking in the Schwarzenegger episode, because we kind of had to cover it there too, but I want to reiterate it, kind of talk about it from the Stallone standpoint, is Escape Plan. It's not the movie we wanted, but I still think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted to see them at their prime, like a Commando and Rambo team up rather than two old geezers trying to get out of a prison. You know what I mean? I would have preferred less Escape from Alcatraz and more Commando and Rambo team up. But that was kind of, yeah, you know, it was a shame we didn't get them in their prime.
But the reality is, given their rivalry, I don't know that we could have gotten them in their prime.
No, we couldn't have done. And that's it. That's the thing. They elevated each other, didn't they? And they were in competition with each other. And it's interesting to see how Stallone, who's, you know, Oscar for writing, done a great performance as an actor, trying, almost going down an Al Pacino route at one point, and then he decides, no, I'm going to go full on action man now, and I'm going to have to compete with this massive Austrian bodybuilder. And he takes it to the next level with his physique, builds himself up with the help of Franco Colombo in amazing shape. You've never seen anyone as cut as him for the periods of time that he was, you know, to be in that sort of shape and do a fight sequence like the ones that he did in Rocky III, Rocky IV. That is extremely difficult. I know he had a lot of injuries from, he told me personally that he would almost malnutrition himself to look like that, and you're more susceptible to injury in those films. I know he's a very tough guy. I remember a stuntman telling me about how he almost cut his thumb off on Rambo 4, and the stunt guy said that he just looked at it and just laughed like it was nothing. He's a mentally very, very tough guy. And, you know, he's got in there with professional fighters, and he's took proper hits in the ring for the Rocky films. He's put his body on the line time and time again, even in his older age in Expendables 1, breaking his own neck because he was trying to do as much of it as he could. The guy's put his body on the line again and again and again, time after time, to entertain the audience. And that is why I respect him so much. Not only is he an incredible filmmaker, storyteller, actor, he sacrifices himself for entertainment in the world of action. And for that reason, he's one of the greatest to ever do it.
Well, I think that just about sums it up. I don't have anything else to add. I can't top that. So at this point, my friend, we have to pick our top five. I don't know how you want to do this, folks listening. We didn't really plan this out. We're just kind of making this shit up as we go. Do you want to give your top five and I'll give my top five, and then we'll kind of see where we disagree and argue, or do we want to go position by position and argue at that point?
Let's just give what our top five is and then discuss why we've chosen whoever the number one is, I suppose.
That works for me. I will say, you and I have talked about this. Every episode we've recorded, I am like, oh no, this is going to be my number one. Like literally every episode we've recorded, I keep changing who my number one is.
Same here. I was sure I knew. And then when we did this, I've changed my mind and reevaluated it.
Yep. I will let you go first. Let us know your top five.
God, I don't even want to say it. It's blasphemous. Blasphemous. Okay, at the moment, and I keep changing my mind. It's the number four and number three that's really freaking me out. But anyway, number five, Keanu Reeves. Number four. Oh, this is the one that's difficult for me. I'm going to have to go Arnold Schwarzenegger at number four, which is weird, but that's what I'm doing. Number three, I'll go Tom Cruise. Number two was going to be number one, but I'll go number two, Sylvester Stallone. Number one, Jackie Chan.
Wow. That is, we are So close.
You've got number three, Arnold.
I do not. Nope. Actually, that is not where we differ. So I have got number five, Keanu Reeves, which again, folks, for people who are like fans of these actors, remind you, we're picking them as the five best of all time. So we're still calling Keanu Reeves the fifth greatest action star of all time. There ain't no shame in that. Number four is Schwarzenegger for me. I really, really thought after our Tom Cruise episode, I was like, nope, Cruise is number one. I gotta go Cruise number one. And then we recorded the Jackie and Stallone episodes, so I have to say Cruise is three. I am going to go Jackie number two, and I'm going to go Stallone number one. And
he switched it.
I did, and let me tell you why. It was talking about his writing and his directing this episode.
Yeah.
I came into recording. I was like, it's fucking Jackie. It's going to be Jackie. I'm all in on Jackie. I knew when we started recording, you were leaning to Stallone as your number one.
Yeah, until we did the Jackie episode.
And
as I spoke it through, I was like, oh, he's got to be number one.
And I, for me, it was the writing and directing of Stallone. But what I am going to do, because we do have to crown the GOAT, I do think if I am zeroing in, because like you said earlier, while they are sports movies and while they are fighting movies, arguably his greatest accomplishment is not an action series.
You can argue that it is an action film. They are action films though, can't you?
I think
what are the parameters that we're dealing with? Yeah, because I mean then we'd be talking about martial arts films probably. You're right. I don't know.
But given where I was leaning to before we started recording, I am going to change, because we do have to crown one. I'm going to change my positioning, and I am going to, in spite of how much I think the writing and directing component of Stallone is important, this is about action star. Guy who changed action cinema as we know it. And you can literally put a pin in before Jackie Chan and after Jackie Chan. And
Stallone was stealing from Jackie Chan, sir.
Stallone was stealing from Jackie Chan. There, you know what? There you fucking go. That does it right there. So I am going to join you, and I am going to say Stallone 2, Jackie Chan number one, unanimous decision. Little old me and Scott Adkins declare Jackie Chan the greatest action star of all time.
And that is final. That is the final say.
And you know what, man? I'm going to sleep great with that. Because if somebody wants to like pick a fight with us over us declaring Jackie fucking Chan the greatest action star of all time, you go right on and shout into the ether, my friend, because I ain't listening.
Yeah, no, because I was thinking I was going to go with Stallone because of those two iconic characters, Rambo and Rocky. You know, there's been so many successful sequels for each franchise, and to be synonymous for two action characters is kind of unusual, even though Keanu Reeves is that with Neo and John Wick. So, and I suppose, yeah, Neo and John Wick. But because he's such a tour de force in terms of writing and directing and acting and just doing so many action films, but then you think, well, Jackie Chan is directing his stuff. Jackie Chan is choreographing his own fights with his stunt team. Jackie Chan is coming up, if he's not, I mean, he is the writer really, because he's coming up with different concepts of different films that he wants to make. And it's sure, they've got writers on board, but they're all kind of making it up as they go along in some of those movies anyway. So Jackie Chan's as much of a filmmaker and storyteller as Stallone is. I suppose you could argue that Stallone is the more sophisticated storyteller, but ultimately Stallone ain't doing the stunts that Jackie Chan's doing. And that really just, you've got to give it to him for that, for putting his body on the line, even though Stallone has definitely put his body on the line. And he has, you know, put himself through the ringer with many of those fights. But the way the Hong Kong guys do it, it's a different thing altogether. Jackie Chan's almost killed himself a few times, you know?
Well, and, you know, you've mentioned before, so many of those Hong Kong movies, they don't even really have scripts. And so it's not really fair to hold Stallone's writing against Jackie, because like you said, Jackie is writing, because he is creating these set pieces and these things. And yeah, it's no question. Nobody's ever put their body on the line of this top five. Nobody's put their body on the line the way Jackie Chan has. And so
Tom Cruise is definitely risking life and limb.
No, he is. He just hasn't gotten hurt the way Jackie is.
Not as many broken bones.
Yeah.
Pick up the pace on that.
Yeah. But no, this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Because I just have bounced around every single episode we recorded.
Yeah. I mean, but Jackie's like, oh, he's done so much in the past. The output as of late has not been as impressive as maybe Stallone's output in some ways. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong to say that. Yeah. But he's just done so much of the good stuff in the past. Yeah. Jackie Chan, greatest action star ever. But anyone that we've been talking about in this top five, you know, they're all just fantastic. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. This wasn't about us trying to do some competition thing. It was mostly about you and I just wanted to hang out and talk about, you know, because I think all of these guys inspired you to get into the genre that you're in and the career that you're in. And obviously I'm not in that career, but they've no less inspired me to do, you know, the things I've done in my life, you know, not the least of which is this podcast in the first place. And so it's like, because I think it's fair to say, I don't want to, you know, I'm not in any way disparaging you, but without them, we don't have you. And without them, we don't have you. And therefore I'm not doing this podcast. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yes, we are, but standing on the shoulders of giants. So, you know, you can only hope to achieve the heights that they have, and in some way serve the gods of action in your own little way. That's what I'm trying to do. Just trying to do what my peers did before me.
Well, my friend, anything you want to add? We are at the end of the journey.
We've got there. No, it's been great fun, Mike. Always a pleasure to chat to you. And I hope people enjoy listening to us talk about just gushing over these action icons.
I have gotten plenty of feedback. I assure you that people are enjoying the hell out of it. So, it's been fun, man. It's always great talking to you. If you ever watch another movie and get a bug up your ass and want to talk another little mini series, you know where to find me. Reach out to me, man. I'm always here for you.
The greatest martial arts films ever made.
Oh, dude, don't put that in my head. Like, come on.
Maybe towards the end of the year.
Yeah, down the road. I know how busy you're about to get real busy. You know, we've been lucky enough that you've had some downtime, but just, you know where to find me. Reach out anytime, my friend.
Okay, Mike. Cheers, buddy.
Thanks, Scott. Have a good night, my friend.
You too.